Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Humble here at your service. Always a pleasure to have you with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. And you know what? When you get to my website, you can find lots of things like how to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every Sunday by email. All you got to do is just subscribe there on the website and tell us that you want it, and we'll send it to you. It's the only way you can get it. You have to tell us. We don't spam you. You have to make sure that you let us know that you want it, and you have to opt in. That's the way it works around here. Another thing you can do on my website is you can find out more about a guy named Tony Paradiso, who's our friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust and our guest this half hour. Tony is the president of a company he founded, Paramar Consulting. One of the things he does is he helps companies put their best foot forward in the marketplace in a lot of different ways. But I like his book that we've been talking about now for a long time, The Management Minefield, Avoiding the Pitfalls of Corporate Politics. He's our friend. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much. And I guess I have to change my website to the second smartest person in business.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm only kidding.
Well, you know, we can share that title if
can
you want to, Tony. Yeah, I'm a magnanimous. I'm pretty arrogant, but I'm a magnanimous kind of guy. So I'll let you share that with me, Tony. One of the things I know you want to talk about is a very important topic, I think, for small business owners, and that is how to know where to put the emphasis of your strategy for operating your business. Should it be heavy on the driving the top line, driving the sales line in order to grow the business, or should it be heavier on growing the bottom line? And a lot of people would be saying, well, how about both? And that would be a good question. But for some reason, you wind up having attention, don't you, a lot of times when you're operating a business on where to focus your attention.
Yeah, because there's always a limitation in terms of your financial and human resources, and so the question is where do you want to apply them, and of course the key factor is cash flow and capital reserves, and depending on how much flexibility you have in that area, you can begin to pay attention more to the top line than to the bottom line in terms of looking for longer term growth that you know will yield profitability down the road. So yeah, it is a struggle, and it's very specific to everyone's individual kind of circumstances. My philosophy has always been more of a longer term philosophy, and it's kind of twofold, because a business, there's two values in a business. It's the value in the cash it throws off, but also the equity value of the business. And the equity value, just as like in a house, appreciates as the size of the business grows. Mm-hmm. And so you have to factor that into the overall value of the company that you're running.
Well, it is important to have market penetration, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
To have customers coming in. If a person is interested in your business, if you're not as profitable maybe as you would like to be or as they would like for you to be, but you do have a serious market penetration, you got plenty of customers, you got a pretty significant customer list, you can do a lot of things with a customer list, can't you?
Certainly can. And, I mean, it's certainly critical to make sure that you're profitable, number one. Growing revenue in an unprofitable business is a losing proposition. So
that's right. That's like the guys who were buying stuff for a dollar on this side of the road and selling it for a dollar on the other side of the road. And one of them has said, what do you think we ought to do? And he said, well, I think we need to buy a bigger truck.
Right. But assuming that you have a profitable business, the question then becomes, well, you know, do I devote my energy to lowering, you know, my costs a penny or two here or there, or do I devote my energy to trying to grow my top line, knowing that that will also grow my bottom line? And sometimes it means sacrificing short-term, you know, profitability for a long-term game. And I have kind of a recent story of my own. I recently bought a country store in New Hampshire, and
Tony.
Yeah.
I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking?
I needed a new challenge. After, you know, 25 years of corporate life, I wanted to see what the
I was going to say
was like
at
as
this
a small
stage,
business
at,
owner.
At this stage in your career, the last thing I thought you would have done would have been to have bought a retail grocery store kind of thing.
Well, you and me both. But one of the reasons I bought it was because it was fully staffed with very experienced people, and so I don't have to devote.
It was ready to eat, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And it was a business that had focused on a tradesman clientele. Done a very good job of that, but hasn't leveraged really an incremental market of a higher-end, more affluent customer base. And that's where I'm focusing right now.
Hold on to that thought, Tony. We're going to come back and talk some more about the tension between driving the top line and the bottom line in our small businesses. It's Tony Tail. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and Tony Paradiso is our guest. He's the author of The Management Minefield, Avoiding the Pitfalls of Corporate Politics. Tony, give us your website, please.
Yeah, it's www.paramarconsulting.com. That's all one word, P-A-R-A-M-A-R, consulting.com.
All right. And where will we find your book?
Well, you can find the book on Amazon.com, and actually you can order it from any bookstore as well.
All right, sounds good. Tony, we were talking about the tension between growing your top-line sales and your bottom-line profits and how that, you know, there are two different mindsets. You know, one of the things that I found out when I was a young pup working for Sears way back in my very early state career, in fact, I started when I was still in college, I found during that period of time I stayed with Sears, we had more than one store manager. And what I found out was that some store managers came from the operating side and some store managers came from the merchandising side.
Uh-huh.
Some were operators and some were merchants.
Right.
And so here's how I, and folks, this is the tension that we were talking about.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this, Tony. I was in some of the larger goods, hard goods products, and sometimes I needed to call our warehouse to find out if they had something in stock. And in those days, as you know, back all those long ago, a long distance call was fairly expensive, relatively speaking. And so I remember if I asked an operator, if I asked a merchant store manager if I could make the long distance call because we had to ask them, to him, he would hear my request and he'd think, okay, that's a $500 sale. And then if I asked the operator the same question, he would say, that's a $4 expense.
Right, right.
It depends on where you're coming from, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, and that's a great illustration of two different mindsets. And of course, the best of both worlds is to have some balance between the two. But to understand, and I'll give you an example. The store I bought, its clientele is a kind of a tradesman clientele, and so we sell a lot of cigarettes. And one of the things I decided to do was to get aggressive with cigarette pricing, and I lowered the pricing on the cigarettes 20%. And in doing that, I'm obviously giving up a great deal of margin. I wasn't selling at a loss, but certainly giving up a lot of margin on a high-volume product. And I expected a revenue dip and a margin dip. And my hope was that I would pull more people into the store and pull people into the store more often, and they would buy sandwiches and other items, mm-hmm. and I would make up the revenue that way. Well, interesting, in just the first 2 weeks, in the first week, revenue for cigarettes was stable. So in other words, I had increased my volume of cigarettes by 20% within a week. And what was happening was people were buying two or three packs instead of one. In the second week, revenues were 20% higher.
Huh.
And so I've basically gotten to a point within 2 weeks where I'm margin neutral, I've increased my revenue, and hopefully, and I think this is the case because I've talked to my store managers, I'm bringing some new faces into the store, which was the whole objective in the first place. So sometimes you end up giving up margin on an item, and maybe it's an important item in your product mix, mm-hmm. in order to build volume and build repetition among a customer base. So long term, you increase revenues in other places. In my case, it might be the sandwich business,
right.
or it might be the the convenience side of the store. So you want to factor those things in, because I look at customers in terms of their lifetime value or long term value. If I can make a new customer and get them into the store once a week, and they spend $5 or $10 a week, that customer is worth $250 to $500 a year to me, and that's how I look at the business. I want to get a bunch of those people that are spending $10
right.
a week in the store.
Now that's a good way to think about it for your kind of business. You have a retail high traffic kind of business. You're making a lot of 49-cent sales.
Right.
But a lot of small business owners don't have that kind of a sale. They're maybe in the tire business, or they're in another kind of business, maybe where the larger ticket. Maybe they're providing some kind of personal services. One of the things that I worry about, Tony, is that they might try to go the what I call the price war route. And I don't know if you considered what you were doing, fighting a little bit of a price war with your cigarettes, but what I know is that for a lot of small business owners, they can't buy their stuff as cheap as sometimes the big guys can sell it.
Right.
And
right.
I worry that they try to get into a price war to drive the top line. That's what I worry about. And that's when I tell them this. It's not what you make, it's what you keep that's important.
Right. And yes, you have to take in all kinds of factors. Now, this particular store is a convenience store. You know, we were during the break, we were talking about the value of time.
Right.
And so I'm not trying to compete necessarily with the supermarkets,
right.
who can always sell things cheaper than I. But the balance between offering a competitive price and convenience to an individual where they would come into my store maybe to buy a sandwich and cigarettes and some other items, whereas they're not necessarily going to do that into a supermarket. So, yes, you have to look at your entire product mix, your clientele, and try to develop product strategies that will fit where you've got multiple kind of value adds that become cumulative to the point where now people will decide, yeah, you may not be the cheapest person around, but you're price competitive and you're offering these other values.
Right.
And for example, in the case of a tire company, right, you don't want to give your tires away, but one thing you might be able to give away is free balancing or something like that.
Exactly.
Value added service.
Tony, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, folks, we've been talking about the top line and the bottom line. We'll come back. I want to get Tony to talk to us a little bit about that line in the middle. You know which one that is? We'll find out on the other side of these messages. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tony Paradiso is our guest.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
We're back. It's 7 till. Mr. Van Morrison there with a little moon dance for you. Tony Paradiso is our guest. He does a pretty mean moon dance himself. Tony, give us your website again, please.
It's www.paramarconsulting.com. That's P-A-R-A-M-A-R, consulting, all one word, .com.
Now, what would we find when we got to your website?
Well, I used to write a column, and I still post some columns that I write, and you can join my newsletter as well. It's called Business Banter, and it's kind of a Doonesbury take on business and economics.
It's a good one too, folks.
Yeah, I focus on ethics and some of the issues that are involved in corporate culture and politics.
He sticks his finger in a couple of eyes from time to time.
I like that
about Tony.
And I also write a column for one of New Hampshire's largest newspapers, the Nashua Telegraph, on Sundays, too.
Right. So you can check that out, and paramarconsulting.com, right?
That's right.
Okay. We've been talking about driving the top line, the importance of driving sales, getting the revenue up, and building the value of the company, throwing off the cash flow. You know, that's a really important thing, Tony, because, as you know, there are a lot of times in the life of a small business when cash flow is the key to their ability to stay in business, not profits.
That's correct.
So that revenue is really important. But then ultimately, over time, you got to make a profit. You got to be profitable. You can't live off the larder forever. You got to turn the profit and make it a successful business. It's not a successful business just because you can get sales. Anybody can give stuff away. You got to be able to make a profit. But there is another line, Tony. And on an operating statement, on a P&L, that's really important. That's kind of the blend of the two lines that we've been talking about, the revenue line and the profit line, and that's the gross margin line in the middle.
Right.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean that's obviously a key factor, and gross margin a lot of times is a factor of how large a business you are and how much sway you have with your suppliers to a certain degree, and also on how clever you can be in terms of finding sources for whatever product or service you offer. So gross margin's a starting point in terms of where the overall profitability of the business is going to be, and then obviously you have to worry about your overhead and the other things that create the bottom line margin, which is always going to be a little less than the gross margin. But that's
right.
The starting point, and you need to understand how large that margin needs to be in order to support an overall profitability on the bottom line.
You got to know how much. You got to know how much your monthly operating is, how much your operating expenses are, and your gross margin's needs to be somewhere around that number, doesn't it?
Yes, it has. Well, it has to be higher than that number.
It should be higher, but it's got to be somewhere around that number.
But
you know, you were talking earlier about lowering your cigarette prices and experimenting with that. It would seem to me that a good place to look then to for the impact of that strategy would have been to look at your margins. You actually mentioned that, I think, a little bit.
Right. And to make sure
to see if your margins were dipping. If your margins weren't dipping, maybe even there was a chance that your margins could have gone up a little bit.
It's possible. My overall margin probably would decline because in my case, cigarettes are a fairly large percentage of my overall daily sales. But so my margin as a percentage would decline, but my gross margin dollars probably did not decline.
That's what I meant was the dollar, not so much the percentage, but the total dollars.
Right. The total and ultimately, that's all you really care about,
right?
I mean, assuming your gross margin is a positive number, which it needs to be to stay in business, what you really care about at the end of the day is how many margin dollars you're throwing off. So the fact that I lowered prices on cigarettes 20% may pay off in the long run, because it may end up producing, just in cigarettes alone, higher margin dollars. And in addition, it might provide incremental sales. It was a risk on my part, but it was a risk worth taking.
Do you consider what you did with the cigarettes to be sort of a loss leader strategy?
To a certain extent, other than the fact that I'm still profitable on cigarettes. And so,
you weren't giving them away.
But if
you posted that out front on the street, that would bring some people in who might not have come in otherwise.
And that was the whole strategy, and we did. In terms of our signage, we played that up very large. And again, it happened to fit our clientele. So that move was based on trying to leverage our existing customer base versus attracting a new customer base. So in terms of the target market, I'm also interested, obviously, in trying to go a little higher end because the store happens to sit in an affluent town. So there's a whole new market segment that I'm going to do other things to try to attract and increase both the top line and bottom line.
Tony, will you come back another day and let's have this discussion and talk a little bit more about some of these strategies?
I'd love to. The store is a great kind of incubator lab.
It is, and I appreciate you sharing some of these thoughts with us. Tony Paradiso, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called The Management Mindfield. Wherever books are sold, ParamarConsulting.com is his website. Thank you very much, Tony, for being here. Good job today.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Tony Paradiso, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.